My name is Varanya Chaube, and I'm speaking with Mr. Humayun Kabir, who is Secretary of the Election Commission Secretariat at Bangladesh Election Commission. Today is the 17th of February, 2009. Firstly, I'd like to thank you very much for participating in this interview.
You're welcome.
We'd like to begin by asking a little bit about your personal background. So would you describe the position that you hold now?
Okay. Currently, I'm working as a Secretary of the Election Commission Secretariat. I have come from the government. My background is civil service. So I worked in various ministries. And before coming here, I was the managing director of Sadharan Bima Corporation, which is the national insurance and insurance corporation of the country, only general insurance company in the public sector. But I also worked as joint secretary in the Ministry of Tourism. I also worked in the cabinet division as deputy secretary. And some other ministries also worked in the Department of Environment. So I have some experience of the secretariat, field offices, and in corporations as head chief executive. So this was my first position as secretary, really. So, and I came here when, you know, we had the 9/11 or the caretaker government was changed, and the election commission was undergoing a transformation. It was reconstituted. So I was here with the newly reconstituted Election Commission from the very beginning.
And that was
The Election Commission was reconstituted on 5th of February 2007. Hmm. So two commissioners were appointed at first. I came here possibly on 9th, and another commissioner joined the commission later, I think after a couple of days, possibly on 11th or so.
And would you describe a little bit about how you got involved in the elections work?
In fact, you know, usually this position is always filled in by secretary, usually from the government. It was because when I came here, it was a full-fledged division within the setup of the government. So it was considered as a division, and it was filled in by any secretary from the government. So we had, at the time I joined here, we had election in mind. So we didn't really know how long it's going to take, but reform agenda, you know, things leading to the emergency and other things. So a lot of activities were forthcoming, but we were not really sure at that moment. But we knew that we had a long list of work to do. So then commission was thought reforms as the basis for their work. So from the very beginning, I was working with the commission, which had in mind the reforming, you know, the electoral laws, election procedures, lots of things.
I'd like to ask a little bit about the scheduling of the December 2008 election.
Okay.
So what were the factors that determined that date as the final election date?
Initially, you know, when we, because the postponement of the 9th parliamentary election in January 2001, which was scheduled to be held on 22nd of January 2007, and it was postponed due to a faulty voter list. So we definitely knew that the voter list would have to be prepared afresh, so a new voter list. And there was demand from the political parties that you have to make it foolproof, and there was demand for a photograph, voter list with photograph. So it, at that time, the Election Commission didn't have the technology and no experience about, I wouldn't say no experience, because the Election Commission had a very bad experience about preparing voter ID cards. Because in the late 80s, there was a project and which prepared a photo voter card with photos, but there was a mismatch and not, you know, the difficulties with preparing a mismatch of photos and not giving everybody with voter ID cards. And ultimately, that project was not successful. So we had, I would say, that not a very pleasant position, and we were not really, experience was not good. But when the commission decided, but it was decided from the very beginning that voter list must have photos. Otherwise, you cannot eliminate duplicates and lots of other things. And also to meet the demand that people should recognize who are in the voter list and nobody's coming twice, things like that. So that was a challenge. And immediately the Karnataka government prepared one committee headed by a renowned IT, most venerable IT sector specialist, Professor Jamil Raza Chaudhary, who had been a VC of the Buet Bangladesh University of Engineering and Technology. He was also an advisor in a past caretaker government. So that committee, there were specialists, computer personnel, and they suggested that it is possible to prepare a national ID card. So when these things were merged, the photo voter list, it seems that it's possible, and we also got input from UNDP, and because at that time there was a small project which had some consultancies. So the Election Commission in the first couple of months looked at these reports and also got inputs from consultants and decided that it's possible to prepare electoral roll with photographs, and so it went like that.
I believe
but the scheduling, sorry, I missed one point. At that time, we didn't really decide about the December 2008. The commission discussed because looked at the timeline, because when the commission decided that photo list will be prepared with photographs, then came a lot of issues, like really technical issues, really, like collecting photos of the voters, and obviously if you collect photos, then you have to put it in a computerized format, a database. You have to collect data from field, put it in a computer, and you had to have network for connection with the centers and different centers. So a lot of these things really, and it required a lot of money. So things were not easy, because at that time the donors, the development partners supported us. Otherwise the government would have to implement the project. In any case, the donors were forthcoming and we had to prepare a project. So, the preparing a project means that there are steps in getting it approved. Like you yourself prepare a project, send it to the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission will place it before the ECNEC or the Executive Committee. So a lot of bureaucracies. But we started the work, to tell you frankly, even before getting the project approved. So it was possible because we involved Army in registration work, so they can sequence the work, and also they had access to some computers. So on a very small scale, and as we didn't have any idea, the Commission decided that we should have one pilot project to test the hypothesis, whether it's possible and what are the challenges. So I think in July, we did a small pilot project in a close area. And then we figured out that preparing the voter list takes at least 18 months, really. So that's how we came to the conclusion that it's not possible to hold the election. Because you have to look at how we prepared the voter list in the past. In the past, we'll mount an operation within in a month. So all the peoples would simultaneously, we'd employ registration officers, enumerators, who will visit door to door. So they'll just have a form, a pen within them, and collect data, come back to the supervisors, give hand if the forms over to him. He'll prepare a list, get it printed. So that operation wouldn't require, say 1 to 2 months at best. And you can mount it simultaneously in all the centers around the world. But when we were talking about photographs and lots of these technical issues, it was not possible to do it at a time. So we had to sequence it, how to do it. And we had to look at how many computers we could have access to. And you see a lot of procurements, and which is the most difficult subject in our system. Because in terms of procurement, and we also suffered a lot due to, because you have to, competitiveness and other international boundaries, you have to go for the lowest evaluated price. And the lowest is not always the best. So in any case, so all these things, we realized that we cannot really actually, even though before in the first half of 2007, it was decided that commission would be preparing for electoral roll with photographs. It was not possible to start the operation, really, full-scale operation, before procurement and projects. So, in fact, the actual work started in October. Full-scale operation started in October, late October, because by that time we could procure the computers and everything. And so you see, we started in July, pilot project. We start work with a small number of computers. Then we get all the computers, start our work. And from that point, it required almost 12 months. So, and print, it not only data collection, because the photo list, the act says that you have to print a draft list first. So you prepare a draft list, make it public, and ask for people's opinions. They can raise objections, any errors, omissions. So you correct it and you prepare a final voter list. So nationwide, we could only finish in, the timeline said, because you as we go on, you'll realize that commission also declared a roadmap. And in that roadmap, which activities can be covered in how many months, or what the time frame was declared. So that's how the commission decided that it was not really feasible or realistic to complete the voter list before October. And before finalizing the list, you cannot declare a schedule. So that's the regulation that the returning officers or the polling personnel, they must have, even the personnel, the contestant candidates, they must have the voter list ready before they contest the election. So all these things really made it, the time frame made it only, we could do it, maybe we would have time like 15 days plus minus, but it was not possible to do election before December 2008. There are a lot of technical challenges, procurement challenges, administrative and management problems, because if you miss one deadline in terms of procurement, you don't know how to, you know how you're going to manage it. That's why we couldn't really because we had a project by UNDP, we missed some procurement deadlines, so we couldn't get it from market. So, and our system didn't allow us to procure directly or make it short in the time frame. So we had to go to UNDP because their system, they have some flexibility within their system. So we could get, in fact, finally we had to buy laptops through UNDP, to tell you frankly.
I'm going to come back to some of the registration and procurement mm-hmm. questions. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned the roadmap that I believe was announced in July 2007. Who were the people involved in creating that roadmap?
The roadmap, in fact, you have seen the roadmap? You've got a copy of it?
No, I've seen it in the press only.
Okay. Maybe. I think I have a copy of it in Bengali, but... maybe you'll have to get it translated, or I don't. In that book, the roadmap was decided by the commission, but you know, immediately after the reconstitution of the election commission, because people were, the political parties, even the interest groups and NGOs, they were really visiting the commission, and commission was aware of the problems, and also. They had meetings with NGOs, eminent personnel, medias, formal meetings. And commission had three rounds of discussion with political parties. This is something unique in the history of... Maybe the election commission previously also had meetings with political parties. But this time, as commission was going for registration of political parties and total electoral reforms, so they initiated, they started a discussion with political parties. So I think though within a couple of five or six months it was decided, commission had lots of experience after discussion with parties and looking at the technical and the management issues. So it was, and also they looked at, I think it was, you have to accept the fact that it was, the commission was a reformist commission in any case. So because they took responsibilities at a time when people were, the reform was, now it seems that it's a buzzword, but people were all talking about reforms. So they also had a lot of issues they had to address, really, not only voter list or elections. In fact, commission looked at the local government election. It came very much in their reform agenda, though at that time we didn't have any legal coverage or there was no Pozilla elections. You are familiar with the Pozilla, I suppose.
And had the commission earlier proposed to hold the Pozilla elections before the national?
Because, you know, as I mentioned, that this time, earlier, since the voter list was declared on a specific day, it was published like finalized one. But this time, as we were finishing work in some areas, we were able to declare the finalize the voter list. So by commission tried to hold elections by October, because before by that time, by June we had some voter list of some upazilas. You know, we have 481 upazilas in Bangladesh and 300 constituencies for general elections. So in some constituencies there are two or three upazilas, but in some upazilas the voter list was completed. So commission envisaged that it was possible to hold elections in upazilas, say a number 100 to 200 at best, not all really. So, but you know, because the political parties, they objected to it, and so people were not ready to hold elections. So commission, after discussion with political parties, commission decided that, okay, the national election is their first priority, and also it was a caretaker government, there was some discussion about which should come first. So commission abandoned the idea that, okay. So it came through really discussions and with all the stakeholders.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the election management body here, which is the Bangladesh Election Commission. Mm-hmm. And I know there have been some very recent changes. Mm-hmm. So would you describe the structure of this management body now and how it has changed from the past?
In fact, we now have a Election Commission Secretariat Ordinance. So this gives it a legal status as to its independence. So this independence means really, you know, financial or administrative independence. But if I think, if you frankly ask my opinion, I see this is a matter of perception really. Because as secretary, I am not responsible to any minister, even if I am with the prime minister's office, usually I won't be reporting to prime minister because all my files, decision making lies with the commission. So basically, before, I think you will find a difference of my opinion with others who says that the independence. But in any case, and independence is not really that the law guarantees that. It is within the mindset or the procedures which you follow or how you work. So in the past, the position was held by a secretary, and he was someone from government, as I am. But we had one secretary who was not with government, Mr. Jakaria, and he had been for long secretary here, became commissioner. But at that time, people, there was a strong demand that election commission secretary should be made independent. So we got an independence. I think functionally, it doesn't really didn't change a lot.
When was that independence granted?
In 2008, in May, we have an ordinance was passed. But this government, you know, it's going to approve the ordinance by the parliament. I think hopefully this will be placed before the parliament very soon. So, in my opinion, I think this is something not many people will agree, maybe. Well, so sure.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. So, but in any case, the law says that election commission is secretariat is not a part of government. So it clearly says that it is not a part of government. So that was, I think. We worked with the way the secretariat worked under the commission. It's almost the same, but anyway.
Are there some changes in day-to-day functions that came about with the change?
And I don't see really any. And the only thing, I think One important change is that it says that financially we are independent in the sense that we will buy the budget. We are free to, the government will approve a budget, and we don't have to go back to Minister of Finance for expenditure, you know. But I think previously even this was the same. But in any case, now it says it is in law, it's okay. And I think the one important change is that for organizational changes like manpower increase or others, there is a system in our bureaucracy that you have to go to Minister of Establishment first, who will approve your organogram, manpower, human resources. Then you go to finance, who will look at the financial implications. So these things has been cut short. Now we have a committee headed by the Chief Election Commissioner, where two other commissioners are member, and both of them, they decide, this committee, where there is representative from Minister of Finance, Minister of Establishment, and when this committee decides, it will be approved. It says the government will approve on the basis of the recommendation of this committee. So this is one important thing. And so it is no more part of government. That's also one important thing.
How often does this committee meet?
No, it's not regularly required to meet really, because you don't change your organogram quite now and then. So it will be maybe once in a, it's not mandatory to meet really. But you can meet as many times as you require. So it's
Now, in your view, what are some of the, apart from this Election Commission Secretariat Ordinance, what are some of the steps that have been taken to grant the Election Commission independence?
Election Commission Constitution gives, I think, the Election Commission has been given enough authority through Constitution. Like we can ask for, you know, the service from any government department. So these are built within the system. I think the system would work if there is the situation. You can think about an ideal situation and a not so ideal situation. So, you know, this is not something you go always by book. So that's what I, if a secretary, even within, with the election, without independence or secretariat or prior to this, it's very difficult. I think this has been mainly a demand from, came from the people and NGOs, because they were, you know, they're looking at the commissions, the behavior of the commission in the past. I think that's what, you look at it from like the perspective of whether giving it the free independent status, does it change the way you behave? So this is not really, because the commissioners were never really, they didn't have to follow the orders of the government at any time. It was never really necessary. But we have seen in the past there are, you know, that people have complained or allegations that they were following, you know.
Another important thing for election management bodies is transparency. So would you describe how there have been changes in the way the Election Commission is conveying information to the public and is opening up its workings to the world?
No, in fact, we have tried to, you know, interestingly, usually, if you look at the form of the nomination forms, which people sign in, which someone proposes, it was skeletal, really. Only few information, name and others. This commission, it came through, you know, High Court and Supreme Court directives, that now there are disclosures to be made. And also, this time, some elements of like disqualification criteria, you know, have been included, incorporated in that. And we have tried, you know, and like the election process, We have tried to make it as much transparent as possible. But election is really very difficult management, because it is the you mount an operation on a single day and with lots of actors, like the teachers, and you know, and their level of competence and level of understanding. These things really are not difficult to monitor from center. And there also it will be unkind to say that they will have the same level of competence, because they only come to work for 2 or 3 days, you know, and you train them, give them other, but how much is possible? But I think the people have seen that in 2008 elections, the people have performed well. And I think there you won't hear any complaints other than and we have tried this. Always election results had been a crucial issue, and the people were curious to know. So this time, rather than providing them, because whenever there were changes in laws, you know, you have seen, I think you won't, it will be difficult for you to understand what we have been providing in our website, because all our contents are now in Bengali, because this is our mother tongue and our official language is Bengali. So mostly whatever we provide, it is in Bengali. But if you look at this, and you'll see that lots of information we have made available through our websites. And this has also gone to the, we launched a campaign like which says that Mini Info, Nirbachoni Tottokonika. So it is Mini Info on information, which ran to the, and then in all dailies or for 30 or 40 days that and says, you have seen the basically these things, how you behave, the candidates, what the candidates should do. So if you look at these posters, you'll see that we have attacked some entrenched behaviors of the candidates, like blocking the road for holding, you know, the meetings. So that was not done now. And posters, because previously they would be affixing posters on your wall, anywhere they like. Now that was not there, and people followed, because we printed it 2 or 3 months before the election, and people have done exactly so. And you see, they will just, the graffiti is on the wall, it's gone, it was not there. You just look at the walls of Dhaka, you are coming here after 1 month after election, and you won't realize that there was an election, because you don't see any posters, any graffitis.
In the past, people
would... In the past, I think, in the past, even after 3 or 4 years, you'll see graffitis, posters, everywhere. And you'll see some posters which are not related to elections even now. And so, and I think we have, it was possible to change the behavior. I think because this was done through media campaign and others, so a lot of things really, and the public people were informed quite well. So we used the electronic media. And on election day, so people were very much worried about what happens in elections. And we tried to give results as soon as possible. So possibly this is the first time that all the results of the elections were out by, say, 2 or 3 a.m. About 80% were out in the middle of night, so 2 or 3 a.m., and by 10. So all the people know who were elected and what was the number of their votes, and that didn't happen in the past.
And counting, where was that done?
The counting in our system, the counting is done in the center. And when the commission really is thinking now that counting should be separated. But you know, you cannot change all the systems on a day. And at the moment, and also our law says that the election commission this time introduced a system where you can hold elections like on separate days, like what happens in India or many other countries. But in our country, national elections must be held on a day. This is the practice, and you count votes immediately after closing the center. So these are some problems maybe we'll have to address. We have to address at a point of time in future. So
I did look at your website, and there is a considerable amount of information available even in English. So I was wondering, who were the people who drove this idea and took the website online?
In fact, when I came here, there was a website, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. So there was some information. But in fact, you might say I took a lot of interest in developing my website. So that's why you see the posters in our websites. You see the movies in our websites, and a lot of information, other information. So, in fact, I personally gave a lot of time behind this website. But I can't say that I'm giving a lot of attention right at this moment, because updating is a crucial part of any website. So maybe we are not as fast at updating it right at this moment. But I can assure you that you will see still a lot of information will be forthcoming in our websites. Now, like we have plans, because center-wise information is a major issue. And because we had two elections back-to-back, you can imagine how difficult it is. More than 30,000 centers, lot more than 1 million people involved. It's really a gigantic task. So that's why we are not still able to, but we have plans to give center-wise information in our website in future. And we have really, if you look at this, we have trained a lot of people in IT, because we have a network connected to all Upazilas, which no other departments in Bangladesh have. And we have trained all the people to send the disclosure information. So all the disclosures, which is been given in affidavit, you know, the disclosure, they have to, all the candidates have to disclose their, just a moment. Hello? So I shall talk about the name of that because later.
Okay, so I would like to ask a little bit about the relationship between the Election Commission and the political parties. I know that recently the registration of political parties was made mandatory. Would you talk a little bit about the kinds of consultations you held with parties and what emerged from these meetings?
It's quite interesting because, you know, the registration, if you look at that, because we had a lot of issues. Commission decided a commissioner, the Chief Election Commissioner, in a very early in their tenure, said, political party is the most important client of Election Commission. So they will discuss whatever reforms or other things must discuss with the political parties. The draft, basically, you know, we had a lot of issues to discuss with the political parties. Because when you are trying to reform the electoral laws and who will be the users of the targets of those groups. So those are definitely the political parties. So the commission prepared one draft. Before starting discussion with the political parties, they had two big meetings with the editors and senior journalists and other important persons, and came to a consensus which are the areas that should be addressed. And then they prepared the one draft of the representation of the people order and the conduct rules, code of conduct for elections, and then also these were the two important, and registration of political parties rules. So basically, if you look at our RPO, which is available in English, it says registration is a political parties can be registered. So it was there for the last 5 or 10 years, but it was not mandatory. So the Election Commission couldn't register any political parties, even though some minor parties, if I use the word minor, then some parties definitely applied and completed the formalities. But this time the Commission decided that this should be made mandatory. And the reason that in terms of any social organization or any work which involves government, all has to have a kind of formal linkage with any government body. So commission was keen to have registration with political parties. So there, in the very first draft, it was there. But there were a lot of other things as well, like disclosure requirements, disqualification requirements, election expenses. In fact, Commission addressed a lot of issues like the provision of nota, none of the above, no votes, and these things were included in the draft. So registration of the political parties was included in this draft. And the first draft, I wouldn't say that political parties none of them really objected to registration. In many of the parties, they welcomed the proposal. But when first draft, we had difference on many other issues. And I remember CEC saying that in the first draft, there was not many differences. And in the second draft, so Commission, in fact, had three round of discussions with political parties, always one-to-one. By I mean that one political party and on the other side the Commission. So three round of discussions with 16 political parties. At first, BNP was left out, you know, a major political party. But NCC formally apologized, you know, there. And so in the third round, BNP was invited. And,
why was BNP left out in the first round?
I think initially at that time, I think if the Commission's view, if you look at Commission's view, there will be definitely other views. The Commission's view was that Commission at that time, the General Secretary was, you know, he was sacked at that time. So and another that has to be approved by a standing committee. That is the view of the Commission really. That's how and. So Commission was not sure who were representing the party. So Commission, in fact, invited one faction which turned out to be not the right one, you know. So this is political, you know. The Commissioner should be, if you have talked to Mr. Brigadier General, he should be able to answer it more elaborately. Usually I don't like to go into political issues because I'm a career civil servant. But this is the how Commission perceived it. So that's how this problem occurred, really. But, you know, the CEC said later that it was wrong for them. But at that time, it was very difficult to maybe. At sometimes you don't know that you have to take a decision, and without proper, you know, the sufficient information, you might take a decision which may turn out to be wrong at a later point of time. And so these discussions, basically registration issues were. And though the political parties welcome registration, there were two issues on which, two or three issues on which it was very difficult to come to a consensus. But I think, and the premise was that Commission said that Commission tried to minimize the differences as much as possible. And in some cases, Commission said this will fail, like, you know, that at least at one party, the candidacy, which says the 91E. You are familiar with 91E. Is that it says that Commission can, you know, that terminate the candidature before election. So this is something the political parties didn't like. And in fact, it was never really. You have seen that in the election, it was not necessary to use these provisions. But Commission saw it as a deterrent. So if it is there, maybe the behavior pattern will change. So it was not really, I wouldn't say any parties really did like it, but it Commission wanted to have it, so it was there. But mostly you will see that, and Commission, the report of the political parties, we have a report of political parties in Bengali. If you like to have it, I can give you a copy. And it is in Bengali. And Commission also, and the CEC took a decision lately that he will release also, because the documents are with him. He will, and these things will be made available, the audio tapes, like what you are taking today, these things will be made available online through our website.
These are audio tapes?
Audio tapes of the discussion with political parties are also available in the Election Commission.
Oh, wow.
So the Commission decided that this should be made available online. So the premise, but the third round of discussions were not recorded, because at that time Commission decided that there will be some issues which may be, and also the nice part of the discussion was that the journalists were allowed to remain in the meetings. So it was really open, public, so everybody can see and know what is happening.
Sorry, I didn't catch why the third round were not recorded.
Third round was not recorded. That commission was, at that time, maybe it seems that there were some issues. Maybe to see that if it, maybe the commission wanted to see whether was there some other issues which they don't want to make public or, you know, they discuss in public. But in fact, it was possible the political parties wouldn't have objected to recording. That is my feeling.
I'd like to ask a little bit about the conditions that were tied to registration. Was there a code of conduct that was part of this?
Code of conduct is not part of registration. But as I mentioned, that there were some elements for getting registered. Like you won't give, the political parties are not allowed to have, you know, some, we call it, they are affiliated organizations with students, affiliated organizations, labor, things like that. So labor is, or the teachers. So these things are not allowed in RPO. So they had the political parties, they had some objections. And also the commission said that what their constitution, the party constitution should have. And when when the RPO was out, representation of the people order, and the registrations were formulated, we found that some parties had some provisions which were not really compatible with the regular registration rules. And the commission asked, requested the parties to revise the constitution, and a couple of parties really revised their constitution to make those compatible with. But, and also there was an exemption in the law, because in order to change the constitution, you need to have, you know, conventions within the political parties, because they cannot decide it through their executive committee. It has to be a broad-based convention, conference. So they didn't have time. So commission allowed that, okay, you approve it through your executive committee and get it approved through your general members through conventions later.
I'd like to talk a little bit now about the registration exercise. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that the registration was done in phases.
Oh, no, registration was not done in phases. You want a specific date, suppose? No.
Was it a nationwide exercise that commenced at the same time?
You mean the registration of voters?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Registration of voters.
It was in phases, yes.
Why was it conducted in phases?
It was because we realized that we have to make person-to-person contact with all the voters. So the people, the enumerators, were visiting the door-to-door. So they come to my place, give me a form, I fill in the form. Then his name, his data would be input to the computer, and his photographs will have to be taken. And again, his fingerprints are to be captured. So these things, you cannot go door-to-door the enumerators. You require data entry operators who are stationary sitting in a place. So we targeted that we'll cover the registration, we'll have to open registration centers. Basically, those are the polling centers. Those have been used in the past as polling centers. So in a polling centers, you people would go, because ideally one computer could only, one data entry operator could register 60 voters in a day. Or at best 100, so depending upon the, you know, the experience and also. But if you do it very fast, there's a tendency that the data will be a problem. And also the taking photographs. So 3-4 minutes it's required at least, and also the recess and others. So And we would be having in registration centers, if you have 5 to 10 computers in one center, and you cater to, through one registration center, you can cater to 2,000 to 2,500 people, really. So you move, you send your team, 10 computers, 20 computers, 30 computers to a center, and they finish their work there, they go to another center. So this is why you had to do it. We had to do it in phases and all over the country. But this was done by Bangladesh Army, really. So, and they were very good at management of logistics. Yeah, and not a user, they were using about 10,000 laptops, equivalent number of scanners, webcams, because we could procure only webcams, not digital cameras, because the digital cameras are the right kind of thing for taking photographs. But integrating it with laptops, someone was sitting with in a table with laptop, and if he takes digital photograph, you know, the time take requiring a lot of time, people are not ready to take give us that much time, and also the digital cameras are expensive. So that's how these people they would establish one registration center, move from one place to another. You just think about the number of people involved in this exercise. So lots of data entry operators which are not available locally, and in some areas, I think I could give you some videos, and that will be helpful to you.
I think that would be nice.
Because we have some videos. Okay, when we finish, or Asad, you know, Asad can give you.
So you mentioned that procurement was a challenge.
Exactly.
Could you describe how you went about that?
No, just ওই আসাদ সাহেবকে বলো যদি ওই একটা ভিডিও থাকে ইয়ের ওই যে সরি আই এম ইন্টারাপ্টিং
নো নো দ্যাটস
ওকে দ্য প্রোকিউরমেন্ট ওয়াজ এ চ্যালেঞ্জ বিকজ ইউ নো দ্য উই ওয়্যার লুকিং অ্যাট প্রোকিউরিং লাইক 10 to 12,000 ল্যাপটপস সেম নম্বর অফ স্ক্যানার্স সেম নম্বর অফ ওয়েবক্যামস অ্যান্ড উই আর গিভিং দ্যাম টু অপারেটার্স হু হ্যাভ নেভার ইউজড You know, and used maybe these laptops and with the things integrated in such manners. We had to procure keyboards separately because the laptops are meant for using single-handedly. So if 10 persons are using the laptops within 2 months, you know, the equipment, the wear and tear, so the equipments do not last. That's why we realized that we have to procure keyboards for them. And lots of technical issues, and getting right kind of equipment was a challenge, because the scanners, we were not able to get very good scanners, and it was a problem. That's why in many cases the quality of fingerprint failed, and the webcams was also not the really right kind of, and webcams is another technically the challenge is that webcams are not really for taking good quality pictures. So the pixel values and lots of other things are not really good for print quality or other qualities. So, and again, the lighting condition and also the webcams, though I think the webcams is not really good for interior. Maybe it will take pictures like this, but it's not really very good for interior. That's why to get a good photographs, we didn't realize that we have to buy, you know, the high energy lights to illuminate the face to get a good pictures, and we had to do a lot of changes in ministry. So, and the challenge was that when we floated tender for the laptops, and that the laptops were not really technically our the committee who were looking at the technical issues, they didn't find the right kind of laptops. So they had to, we were faced with the dilemma that if we do go for a tender, it will take 3 months, and we cannot add 3 months to our, schedule, because people would not allow. So we took assistance from UNDP, because that was a project implemented by UNDP. So the UNDP, it was thanks to UNDP that it was possible to get it. Just a moment. Thank you.
So you mentioned some midstream corrections. Mm-hmm. At what point in the process were these made, and how did you go about making those changes?
In fact, during pilot phase, and what happened that as soon as we realized, we were ready for making changes. So we realized it quite early.
Oh, and you were mentioning that UNDP helped with the procurement. Yeah,
with the procurement, yes.
Of laptops.
Laptops, yeah. Laptops and also some other than scanners, fingerprint scanners.
And where are all these things stored now?
No, we have decided that these are now, because we'll be starting a new phase of updating. So we require laptops, about 5,000 laptops in our Upazilas. So about we now have 9,000 laptops. So we require 5,000 to 6,000 for our use. And since the project has not completed, we cannot, but we distribute them. But now we are thinking about giving some laptops to other government agencies who are doing birth and death registration and also educational institutions in the rural areas where they can use them for training students.
So could you talk a little bit about the pilot registration exercises that were launched?
In Sripur?
Yeah.
It was launched in July 2007. So it was a small area in very close to Dhaka, and it has a mix of rural-urban mix, and some people are floating like they work in Dhaka, and maybe they come from outside Dhaka because Sripur is close to, there's lots of garment factories who work in garment factories. So we figured out that that was the right kind of place for getting, if they're doing the pilot. So in the pilot, really, we tested some, we had different modalities for registration, like how you fill in the form. You fill in the form and give it to public and input it to computer before he comes to the center to report you, or you do it afterwards. So we had some issues to address, because if you input it to the computer beforehand, we realized that then we stick, because it was not networked within that registration center at that time. So we stick him to one computer. So these are the things really we had to experiment and see how best to do. And also we are verifying, because the voter list has to be foolproof. So you must know that nobody is falsifying his names, and he has to be verified. So first of all, we send a numerical test to one place. So, and we were verifying him at the centers. And at the centers, we need to have local people, like local representatives, to verify him. So a lot of issues really we addressed at that time.
Now, some people are particularly difficult to register, people who live in remote areas, sometimes it's women, marginalized communities. Mm. What efforts were made to reach out to these voters?
A lot of efforts. In fact, I think if you, at the moment I don't have those reports available, but we have done some research, independent research, and who have gone to some areas about which there were reports that a lot of people were, they made voters, forced voters in some areas, and in some areas where were some minorities who have been neglected. And these independent results suggest that then I think error is less than 1, and it is less than 0.5. And the errors they identified, that those people were not there during voting registration period. That's why they left out, and some people didn't bother to get registered. But I think the registration of voter list, I didn't mention one thing. The registration of voter list, it was a great success. But this success is due mainly to ID card, I would say. Because when it was meant for two purposes, really. So one is to give one person one identity card. So we provided side by side with voter registration a ID card, people were getting one ID card. And in this country, people look at it as a matter of empowerment, like, you know, that identity. Some people who cannot establish their identity are lacking, you know, in languishing in jails sometimes. It also happens. And for VGT cards and for various government services, you have to establish your identity. So people, in fact, the registration, the success of registration, you know, owes a great deal to the national ID card. But it was possible, you know, that the amount of information we get there, it's in lying in computers. So you can use it, they're reporting the way you like. So we provided people with ID cards. And government was trying, the category government envisaged that they have a new department will take care of registration. But even if there is no separate department of registration, the election commission thinks that it's possible for the election commission to continue with this effort. So we can provide ID cards to people. But we need to do some work. But in this process, really, we have a very strong IT support, IT infrastructure, and with right kind of people, it's...
I'd also like to ask how the integrity of the lists was safeguarded after they were compiled. How are they protected and stored?
Yeah, no, in fact, everything is in computerized format in database. We have to, just a moment. Hello?
Safety of the list.
Yeah, I think the list is, the database is well protected, and so no problem. It's if the database is right, we can get the print the voter list, and we'll have to update it, because in the meantime, because we did it, people who were 18 in 2007 were registered. Now we'll have to include people who have become 18 in the meantime. So in fact, we are ready. We are getting ready. For updating, we are organizing another pilot in a very close area, Dhaka, so that still we have to learn a lot, because the database, managing a database of 80 million people is not a simple task. And in-house, we don't have that capacity. So at the moment, we are dependent on consultants. We only have two IT permanent staff within our setup, but we are increasing that staff. And so we have a pool of consultants working with us.
And so far, it's the army that's managing the list?
No. Now we are managing it with our own staff.
Okay.
So it's not army. In fact, army has transferred this thing us. So we have a server and everything in our project office. Mm-hmm. We have all things. We have duplicate, even triplicate copies of the database. So God forbid, for any reason, server gets lost, still we'll have the data we are thinking about storing it in another location in future, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I'd also like to ask you a little bit about the boundary delimitation. Mm-hmm. Here. Has it changed in the recent past?
Yes, there's a lot of change. I think when delimitation of constituencies, it is one of the important responsibilities of election commission. In fact, they have three or four responsibilities, like holding elections, local level elections, and preparation of voter list, election for president, and boundary delimitation. But and it is mandated that after each census, you delimit the boundaries. So this time we had a census in 2001. But the last election commission didn't really delimit the boundaries in a major manner. And when this commission decided that it is their responsibility to delimit the constituencies. But, our constitution says that we can only have 300 seats. So the election commission cannot increase seats. So what they do, they rationalize the just boundaries. So basically it is the population. So this time we found that there has been a lot of migration and others, and in some areas people have migrated, so they were getting And the first draft of delimitation, we did it based on entirely on geographic information system. Basically, it was computerized and using census data with geographic mapping. And when we mapped the entire thing, it came out that, and the commission decided, I think the mean was like 4 million, not 4 million, I said 300 to 400,000 something, 414,000 for a district, for a constituency. And this was this in Dhaka, we found out that there was an increase of about 9 seats would have been, but commission decided that the small districts at least get 2. So basically all the people based on delimitation was based on geographic divisions as well as means. I think major important factor in important thing in delimitation was the threshold level was quite high. Like as we said, that the average was on average, the commission allowed that plus minus 25% would be acceptable. Still, the change was 153 seats remained intact. So no changes in 153 seats, but about other 147 had to be touched in a small or a bigger manner. So some districts like Faridpur, Borguna, in some districts they have lost 1 seat entirely. So rural people, they were not really happy because in Bangladesh, in our culture, the MPs are very important persons. And they go to MPs for any problems, and they expect the development works and others to come through, you know. So, and a lot of people didn't like this delimitation. So after delimitation, the commission organized public hearing. So they went to different division level headquarters and also to other areas, some important districts, and heard them and tried to minimize it. So afterwards, I think still more than 100 seats were touched. But as I said, in Dhaka, we had an increase of about 7 seats. So in urban areas, people don't care really whether they get 1 MPs or not. But this is in the law, it says. So commission recommended at that time that maybe the parliament should look at the mother law and see whether it should be based only on population, or they should also address rural-urban mix and other things. We also faced litigation on that issue, really. And people went to court, even though our constitution says the delimitation cannot be challenged before the court. But people went to court. Finally, court decided in our favor. And you see,
Who were the people that went to court?
Some persons who were maybe in the MPs in the past and others. And in fact, immediately and at a point of time, it seems that because you cannot declare schedule when there's litigation, you know, when cases are pending before the court. But it was becoming uncertain whether the commission can hold election in December. And so there was a lot of difficulties. And in October, I think, when we fought it in the court, and finally our lawyer went to Supreme Court, and Supreme Court was, but by that time the High Court cleared all the cases, and the moment all cases were cleared, Commission declared the schedule.
Were there any changes in procedures followed on election day from the past?
Procedures. In fact, one important thing is that at this time, you know, the results, they are counted in centers. So we instructed the polling officials that they should give the result to all the agents. It was mandatory beforehand even, but this time one important factor is that they should affix the result outside the center so that everybody can come and see it. So it was done. I think this is one important thing. And in terms of, I think the principal thing was motivating the returning officers, assistant returning officers, polling personnel. I think the caretaker government also did play a very important role, because the chief advisor himself went to districts and he categorically emphasized that all returning officers, assistant returning officers must remain neutral. And we have laws which says that people must be neutral. So I think the whole environment at that time was really, they were playing their roles and responsibility fair to their charter of duties or whatever it is.
Now, just to clarify, the results, the counting happened at the polling center, and then immediately the results can be posted outside.
Counting, you see, there are at least 100 polling centers in one constituency, maybe 100 plus, or roughly I say this, because we, against 300 constituencies, we had 32,000 centers. So that means 100 to plus minus something, maybe there are some 80s. So these are the presiding officers at the head of the center. Basically, when election is going on, he's in charge of centers and he can decide whatever it is. He can stop the polls or call in law and order agencies or others and bar any people from entering. So when at 4 o'clock in the evening, afternoon, the election is supposed to complete. So afterwards they start counting. So when it is counted, they give the results, a sheet is prepared, given it to people. Then they stack everything in a sack, take the result and all the materials to assistant returning officers, who is upozila nirbahi officer in the upozilas. That UNO, he is also the assistant returning officer, and so he compiles the results of all the centers. So there you know that who has won or not. But and then the assistant returning officer sends the result to returning officer. The returning officer, center by center results, and returning officer will see, and then he will let us know.
How are they sent?
This is by fax, by telephone, but from center to assistant returning officer, this is physically. Like the presiding officer will have to report in person to the assistant returning officer, hand over the results sheets. The assistant returning officer will look at it, and then send the results to the returning officer. And he will also take, if necessary, all the sacks and everything, because those are kept in the district returning officer's office. So in any case, those will have to be carried to those there.
And I believe this was the first time that transparent ballot boxes were used.
Yes. Well, I think I missed that point earlier. So this is a very important element in election that, but you know, the CEC said in 2007 that election transparent ballot box is not a major factor, because earlier even you'd show, we'd open the cover lid, you will, people who are present, they can look at this, you then seal it, you close it. But anyway, there was a demand, and CEC later decided that maybe we hold a very good elections. And some people will say that we haven't seen what was inside, so, and they will raise questions about it. So he decided, so the commission later decided that we should go for transparent elections. But you must realize that in any case, the human factors are more important than technological inputs in any election. You can provide all sorts of things, technology, anything, and the people who were at the polling stations, they are not behaving properly or taking sides, you know, or then everything can happen. But I think we are very, we are satisfied with the outcome and all, so the transparent ballot box. But I think Transparent ballot box gives us, I think, though I said this, it now gives us some, you know, tools to actually use, like I was saying, that we can count it later in another place. Because why? Because you have all the logs are numbered, boxes are numbered, so it's possible to monitor which box was used in which center, which numbered logs were used for which box. So it is possible, and we provide numbered logs, sheet to the all agents. So but I've seen hindsight that now as we have started using it, definitely we can bring more transparency and change, you know, the procedures of elections in future. It's quite possible within our capacities now.
You mentioned the people are important. Have there ever been any penalties for election officers that
Yes. In the past there had been, and also, you know, in Upazila elections held later, some presiding officers were punished by the judicial court. So it's possible that there might be some, you know, some bad elements. But I think the election, we didn't have this. The election of 29 January was extraordinary. We didn't have any complaint about any polling personnel from anybody really on that election day.
Which election day was that?
The 9th Parliament election.
In December.
So interestingly, usually the violence on polling day is quite common. So we were expecting some violence, and that didn't happen. In whole of Bangladesh, only 3 centers were, out of 30,000 centers, only 3 centers were just cancelled, stopped, election was postponed. And that didn't have any impact on results of any, you know, the candidates. So this is extraordinary.
And who was the agency that was responsible for election security?
In fact, they work within the overall control of the election commission. So, in fact, we have our control room here. We are monitoring. Election commission is a very small outfit. We, the 3 commissioners, we are secretariat, it's like 200 personnel here in secretariat, and about 2,000 field staff in all Upazilas. So this is what we work. But on election day, all the government agencies are supposed to work with us if we require. So you see, we had about 30,000 centers, 32,000 centers had 32,000 presiding officers. And they have as many as 5 assistant presiding officers. That takes you to 150,000 more. So, and one polling, 2 polling officers for each booth. So all polling centers will have 5 booths or 2 booths, 3 booths. So this way, we were the civil employees, about 500,000 plus, 550,000 plus civil employees who are usually government school teachers, officers working in sector corporation, in government departments, colleges. Basically, the school teachers and college teachers, they play a very important role in election. And again, similar number of law enforcing stuff like army, police, and ANSARs. So there's lots of law enforcing agencies were, and so more than 1 million personnel were employed. So half of them were looking at law and order situation, and others were in the duty of like managing elections. So this is a huge operation, and it's not possible really for the election commission alone to do anything.
Were the security arrangements for the Upazila elections in January different?
Not much. Army was also there. Police at the same, not very different.
But the incidence of violence was higher.
Usually local elections, they tend to be violent because they are fought very closely in all elections. This is our experience. But still, I wouldn't say to a great deal. But in some centers, yes.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground. In conclusion, I'd like to ask if there's some innovation that you think that was tried here that you would recommend to your counterparts in other countries and the context in which it is likely to succeed.
I think it's a quite interesting question. I think you know the social variables won't be the same, so there will be a lot of differences across societies. But I think in hindsight, I would say definitely electoral roll with photograph is a good thing to have for the election management, because the polling agents, even if earlier you relied on the judgment of polling agents, the polling officials, they wouldn't really, they couldn't say which person was whom. So, but now you have a photograph, you ask name, the polling officers, they know, the district presiding officers, now they know that, well, he's the right person. And also the transparent ballot box, I think this is great, and it will help us to further improve the elections in future. We have already, we are also doing some other exercises, which I haven't mentioned, that like we are trying to collect data electronically in future, maybe it is possible, and so in real time you'll get a very good response, but that will depend upon the network and other things. But I think from our point of view that we have managed the, because we had time, we also could manage the political parties. Bringing political parties into consensus was also very important. So if we, I think if you discuss, open all the issues and discuss with them, mostly the good things are taken with, I think, greatness.
In conclusion, are there any other issues that I haven't raised that you would like to raise?
In fact, we have done so many works in I think voter education is a very important area. We have tried, you know, because like disclosures, we have seen that we would expect that the candidates should be known to their electorate at quite length. So they should know who they are voting for. So it has not really been possible for us to disseminate all the information. And again, you have to see that in a democratic system, voting party is an important an important factor. So still, I think if people are empowered and we give them right kind of information about the candidates and others, maybe it will help them to choose their candidates in the right. Just a moment. Hello?
Yes.
I try to recollect. I think voter education is quite important, and dissemination of the information like disclosure, we find it quite difficult, because you know how to reach. You have a very, it's like a 20 days, 15 days time. You collect the information, how do you reach people? In a country, you know, where you don't have television in rural areas, in cities you have lots of cable, like, and newspapers. So people who are not literate, how do you reach them? And how you, so a lot of difficulties. But I think we shall try to, we should focus on more on voter education awareness in future. So this is a great challenge we need to take up in right earnest in as soon as possible.
Okay. And in the past, what options did you consider for this previous elections to reach people who are difficult to reach?
I think you mean voting on voting day?
Yeah.
No.
To provide education on the process.
I think voter education is always has been a difficult. I think it has always been like so, because even for a candidate, it is not possible to reach all his, you know, the voters. So for us, I think still we have to rely a great deal of mass media, really. So So we don't have much options. We try to use handbills, you know, this time, radio, TV, and most of these should be, and also the election is adversarial contest. So, and we expect that some of it should be, and every candidate can take up some of the issues himself as well. So providing, getting information and making it available to the persons who can use it more important maybe.
Okay, well, if there's any other issue you'd like to bring up.
I think for from the management side, the point, not that, but the point that you have to take lots of small decisions on very quickly. So this is, I think, ultimately, now it seems that we have managed well, but many of things, you know, could have gone wrong, especially the election materials, logistics, supplies. We have so many centers, and still we are a homogeneous country, I think. So for us, many of the things are easy. Maybe it will not be so for a country which is, you know, geographically more the areas are distant and others. I think we have to bring a lot of change in the way we conduct election in future. So this is important, because not only that these times all the parameters were right for election, but we have a caretaker government. So, and we don't do election under, you know, that an incumbency factor is not there at that time. So maybe for other countries, maybe procedures are more important. And we also, I feel that we have to make some changes in the way we conduct elections in future.
Okay, well, thank you so much for participating.
I was not, because when I raised the name,